And welcome back to another episode of Pod Nuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B., coming at you once again from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And I am continuing my series of recap interviews from the IT Owners Convention in Chicago. This time, I am joined by a gentleman who owns a business and in 2016, won back-to-back honors as best of the best in Monmouth County for his store in Fairhaven. He was a presenter at this year's conference, teaching us processes and all sorts of good things. He started his business in 2006 with the specific goal of providing on-site computer services for homes and businesses. He has a model that no job is too small. Folks, you may know him as the gentleman who really showed us what a Venn diagram should look like. I am talking about Tom Bull from Two River Computer. Tom, how are you?
Marvin, thanks for having me on. Good to see you.
Good to see you. And finally, glad we had a few minutes to chat. We didn't quite catch each other at the right time at the conference, so got a few moments here tonight to do that.
Yeah, that's great. I was a little busy, so I'm glad we're getting a chance to do this.
It was. So let's go back and talk about your history just to get that for a lot of people. I don't think everybody at the conference got it, and certainly the listeners that did not go to the conference. You've got a nice little business up there.
I do, and I'm having fun. So the business started in 2006 and came out of a need I was seeing in the consumer market that virtually every person was going to own their own computer instead of just having one computer sitting in the kitchen. And a lot of the people I was working around and with said that I was crazy. But I saw it and I thought that I could take advantage of it, leverage my standing in the community, if you will, very active locally, in church and in rec sports, and you know, it's a small community, so people see me around a lot. So it was a good opportunity to leverage that and turn it into a business. And I kind of, without painting it on the side of my truck, am targeting big homes and small businesses. And prior to that, spent 15 years working in a business-to-business capacity, serving others by designing and servicing large networks. And prior to that, spent 10 years with a computer manufacturer where I learned kind of everything from service and support to even sales and marketing and some manufacturing as well.
Okay. Now, your town is a small town, but you're in the state of New York. So how far are you from the big city?
I'm in New Jersey.
Jersey.
And as the crow flies from where we are, we're on the Central Shore. And as the crow flies to Manhattan Island, we're about 13 miles.
Okay.
But by car, that's about 4 hours. It's not that bad.
It's close to Manhattan. I just kind of,
it's about an hour and a half, yeah.
All right. Those state lines get blurry for me north of the Mason-Dixon.
Me too. I try not to cross over a bridge unless it's within a couple miles of me, so.
All right. And so I mentioned that you won those best of the best awards. Now, I only saw records up to 2016. Did you keep winning that award?
Yep, won it last year and have a very good feeling that we're going to win it this year based on the feedback from my constant contact and my click-throughs on the emails that we blasted out. So that's like taking into consideration all the repair shops, the traditional repair shop in our county. And rating us against the others. So I'm going for a four-peat.
Okay. Right. And did I read this correctly? You have a 5-star rating on Yelp?
We have a 5-star rating on Yelp. We have a 5-star rating on Google. And I have a 5-star rating on Facebook.
Man, you do. Man, all right. Way to go.
You know what? This is going to sound crazy. If you follow the rules, if you listen to what the experts say, experts like Matthew Rodell and others, it can happen, and it's not terribly expensive if you do the right thing.
Do the right thing. Yep.
Yeah. I like that. Follow the rules.
Okay. All right. So let's get into the conference. And earlier, I mistakenly thought you were there all 3 years that we held this conference, but you've been there for the last two. So why don't we start with a little comparison of when you came last year, you were a participant, and what got you excited to come back this year and actually be a presenter?
Well, if you don't mind, I want to roll back even before that and talk about how I even found out about it. And I think it started with me Googling something like, I need an IT website genius, and found Matthew Rodella. And I subscribed to a newsletter of his that I was getting kind of routinely, marketing tips for a local computer shop.
Okay.
And started to read about it and saw the show. Now, in my history, I'd gone to bigger shows like NAB and Comdex, and as an exhibitor, hardly ever as an attendee. But I didn't think that shows were for me, and my ego being what it is, I thought maybe I knew everything I needed to know. And thank God I reconciled with myself and went last year, because I don't know anything. So it was good to meet other business owners of my size, some smaller, some larger, to kibitz about the peaks and the valleys of owning your own business and dealing with the things that affect us on a daily basis, but also to come at it from a revenue generating standpoint, and what are we doing about that? And most importantly, from a technical aspect, what are the tools that we're using to get our jobs done?
All right. And you've actually done it quite well. You've done something that I tried to do early on, which was have staff. And I had to, I'm not going to say I had to ditch it, because I might be doing it again. But of course, your background probably gave you some good preparation in how to put together a staff and run a business.
It really did. When I was doing my business-to-business stuff, I ran into a ton of small businesses that we took from paper to computer. So that process, and going through that whole process, I was able to see some sins that were committed and was able to store that in the vault and say, I'm never going to do that. And took away some good pieces of information that I knew I was going to be able to use one day. So I got to see a lot, all different size businesses from all different vertical markets. So I got to see everything and got to take advantage of that as I built mine. So for me, one tip, and people ask me this all the time, how did my business grow and how did I make it grow or help it grow? And basically all I did was water it. I listened to what the people around me wanted and I gave it to them. I wasn't so arrogant to believe that they had to buy what I was selling. I wanted to give them what they wanted. I didn't want to tell them what they wanted. I wanted to give them what they wanted. So my business plan looks wildly different than the one I drew up back in 2005 when I was seeing this in my head.
Okay. And we're going to skip around, but I want to just go ahead and parlay this into the session that you led on processes, because it looks to me like you've done a very good job of putting to paper processes for each step in each, I guess, key ingredient of the business, so that it can easily be followed and, you know, there's nothing left to chance, in a sense. Is that kind of what you're doing with the process?
Yeah, the idea was that we don't want too much left to interpretation. We want to give freedom where it should be, but we need to have structure where it should be. So I had learned through, you know, my experience, everything from the ISO certifications to some of the Sarbanes-Oxley stuff, the SOX stuff, and through a couple of years of mergers and acquisitions, watching that a finely defined process can really make your business more valuable when you go to sell it. So taking even more of a push from the book E-Myth, that talks about how small businesses fail at an incredible rate, but franchises do not, largely has to do with process, repeatable process. Everything from how you greet a customer to how you put the computer in the bag and how many paper towels you use to wipe down. Everything kind of has a very specific process. And we've outlined, geez, we have over a dozen of them. So I showed you one on my talk on Sunday.
And just for everybody's reference, The E-Myth by Michael Gerber is the book you've referenced. We've referenced a few of those as well. The E-Myth Revisited. There's a couple others that I have on my shelf. I just can't see it now to tell you what they are. So yes, you did show us one of the processes, and it was interesting that you were able to get that entire process onto one page. Now, it didn't go into huge detail, you know, at each step, but it was basically a decision tree.
Yeah, that was the overview. We have other ones. So in the beginning of the book, of the Bible, there's an overview, and then the details are below.
Right.
So like often in an electronic version, you would click on a certain box and it would take you somewhere else. So like when we talk about some of the software processes, there's a bunch of cocktails that I call them, and we have about a half dozen different cocktails, basically of Tech Suite or D7-esque type steps and programs that we run in a certain order and for a certain problem. So we have those all outlined as well. So this is what you do when you see this, and this is why you do it and when you do it. So, you know, we've got it all kind of mapped out. So it's easy to teach, it's easy to adjust, and it's easy to fine tune. Yeah.
All right. So here's the question. How many people have contacted you after the fact to
I got a lot of Facebook requests, and I think everybody's lying in the weeds waiting to ask me. I've had a couple people ask me, you know, what other processes do I have, and am I willing to share? And of course I am. I feel like we're all in this together, and we're all trying to learn and grow, and if I can take something from you and you can take something from me, that's great. We're not competitors. We're all in it together.
I was going to tell you to package it up and sell it.
I was thinking that too. I actually started a book, and I thought that I was going to write it years ago because I was looking for one, you know, how to start up a computer business from a marketing standpoint more than anything, because I think that's the most important thing. You need to generate interest. If you're good technically and you can solve problems, trying to get better at that is not as worth it as trying to figure out people who are going to pay you to do what you can do. So. You know, better to go find the people first and backfill later.
Okay. All right. So now let's move into your evaluation of other sessions and things that you took away from the conference. So I'll just start with the general. Is there one thing that sticks out in your mind that really caught your attention that you could take away?
Yeah, a couple things. I would say, number one, the Freedom Voice thing. Because for 3 years, I spent working, actually probably closer to five, working in the voice field in conjunction with data and some video. So I'm no stranger to selling phone systems, but I kind of put that behind me because a lot of it is kind of like, I say, selling lunch meat. It's kind of by the pound, and it's not very specific or challenging. And the VoIP stuff made it more challenging, but it wasn't something I wanted to pursue. Until I saw the revenue possibilities. And even though it's not a ton, it's an excuse to get into another business. And I used to use it a lot, selling phone systems back in the early 2000s, where we would evaluate somebody's phone bill and say, hey, if I switch you over to this carrier and save you $300 a month, will you lease a new phone system from me for $200 a month? And, you know, put $100 in your pocket and get a brand new phone system. And virtually everyone we proposed that to said yes. So we're in a similar situation, and now it's more about features and less about money. They like the, you know, unified messaging idea and follow me and forwarding and, you know, all this, these other bells and whistles that have come out. So I think it's an easier sell, and I can go back to my very large install base of micro businesses. I have lots and lots, many, a couple thousand small businesses that I could go after and try and sell this.
That is true. The landscape of voice over IP has changed, where, you know, years ago it was always thought, well, I'll just switch over to VoIP and save money. So it's not always about the money anymore. It's about, as you say, the features. People want to have the follow me, you know, anytime, anywhere. Yep. The same features as the big boy systems. And from our perspective, if it's tied to the network, it's something that we can manage, which I think I've resisted managing on the network because it was always, you know, something that in the beginning was out of my control. You know, the phone company, even though it was on my network. Well, sure. Now I'm thinking, well, let me be the one that puts it on my network and then I'll manage it and take money.
It seems like that they're going to do it for you. They're going to support it for you.
Well, true.
So yep. They'll help you put it in. And then, you know, you give the customer an 800 number to call when something goes wrong. I mean, that model of you just go find me a warm body and I'll help you install it and then we'll give you a little piece is really attractive to somebody like me. So I don't have to hire a VoIP specialist or add people just to support that venture if I start splintering off and taking that on. I don't want to dilute myself too much in what I do, but it's a communication product. It's a network-based product, just like a smart TV. So it kind of involves me. So my customers want to know what I think. So all right. I'll tell them.
All right. So maybe you and I will be, you know, rolling out Freedom Voice.
We will. We'll be talking to Jason Miller, who's got it all figured out. Probably go down and see him and talk to him more closely about that. And in addition to that, I finally pulled the trigger on malware by TechBench. And I had given two of our technicians an opportunity to evaluate it. And I wanted their opinion based on existing tools. And they were kind of flim-flamming and really not committing. And I told Alex that I was going to go ahead and do it and told me to sit tight and wait for the show. Michael said, yeah, same thing. Wait till I see you and buy you a beer and then we can, you know, do the deal. And we did. So we're in on the TechBench and we made another decision that's TechBench related. And that's the TechSuite product.
Okay.
Because we're a D7 shop.
Yep.
And come to find out that the integration with Repair Shopper, and which led me here, this leads me to another thing that came out of the show, I may be moving over to Synchro. So, and having all of that kind of tie in together nice and neat.
Right.
I'm excited about all of that that's came out of that for us.
So, you know, when I talked with, I had, you know, Jason on and I had Lynn Thames on, and one of the things that we, you know, had in both those interviews was the fact that the interaction that you get at this conference is so much different than the large conferences. You're not going to have, you know, the Michael Sherwood type discussion, whether it's in the big group or when you pull him off to the side, you know, he lays it out on the table and says, here's what we got. Here's what's coming down the road. You know, hey, wait for this. Don't do this. You know?
And hey, we screwed up. Right. I mean, he'd come out and there was something that went wrong and he said, yeah, this is us messing with stuff and we shouldn't have been doing it. But yeah, that intimacy that you get not only with a vendor, but with our peers, you know, when you're playing ping pong and eating chicken wings, I mean, that's great. That's great time spent. You know, and you find out maybe you've got some synergies, maybe you can work with some people. There's a couple of people in Jersey that I'll be able to work with. And maybe even with Lynn, because she's in Philly, which is outside of South Jersey for me. So, the opportunities in a small show, in a boutique-y show, which is how I describe it to people, it's more like a boutique than a department store. And I like that a lot.
All right. Okay. Any other breakout sessions that you attended?
I did. I went to Fab, so I was a little disappointed because he didn't have enough time. And I think that poor guy was just a nervous wreck. I was thinking maybe he needed somebody there to help him show us some stuff. So I was looking forward to seeing how to do certain things. I mean, I can read the website and the blogs and everything as good as anybody, but I wanted to see it. I want to see somebody do it. Like Matthew Brock's presentation on cloning, which I know you're a big fan of, and imaging and how that's done. And he was showing us not cloning, but imaging. And that was really good for me to literally see. I mean, he walked through it really step by step. And that was great. And that was a good takeaway for us. We don't do a lot of that. I think that the Windows 7, having an image of that ready to go instead of a 48-hour, you know, update process is really beneficial. So that was a good time saver takeaway for me.
Well, I think there is something in the works to do something with Fabs where we can do more of a, I don't know if it's going to be a video presentation, I'm not sure, but I think something's in the work there. And yes, the, you know, from my perspective, I've always touted cloning. I myself, I do imaging, but for some reason, I just didn't think it was a big enough topic to bring up. And Matthew did a very good job of showing step-by-step the imaging process, because I do that. I do it with the SysPrep, and then I'll blow out, you know, 5-10 stations, you know.
Right. I mean, that's a great way to do it if you're doing it like that. I mean, we do, I was asking the guys on Friday, we have a weekly staff meeting talking about things, and I was recapping the show for them. And I said, you know, how many complete, we refer to it as a system rebuild, how many rebuilds did we do this month? And they're like, well, 2 Windows 7 and 1 Windows 10. And I'm like, all right, so we're fixing more stuff than re-imaging and starting over. And maybe that's stubborn, but I encourage the technicians to work hard and figure out the stuff, not necessarily always go to the imaging route. But we're not deploying, you know, like I said, I do micro businesses. I'm not deploying 5-10 workstations at a time.
Well, I was going to ask, I know that your shop is pretty much, you know, touted as a repair shop, and you do both Mac and PCs.
Yes.
So you're not necessarily selling your stations to your customers?
We do. We don't do a ton of it. And the reason is simple. I used to. What was happening is that the margins got thin, and we all know about that. But I was like, if I can't make 30% on something, then I'm not going to sell it. And my challenge is that when I buy something for $600 and have to sell it for $800, and my customer can find it online for $699, I have a problem selling it for $800. So what I was doing is saying, look, customer, go buy this, and I'll tell them exactly what to buy, and then I'll go in and do pure service. So what I had noticed in the last 2 years is my revenue numbers were heavy with cost, and, you know, I wanted more profit, and right, and it's about the revenue. So I clearly made a momentum shift in my brain to go right after revenue and forget about making, you know, $100 on a $1,000 computer. Because my thought process prior to that was 10% of something is better than 100% of nothing.
Right.
And I'd say I'll make a little more money on this deal, but I left a lot of money out on the street, and it didn't hurt me, but I didn't lose money, but I lost profit in relationship to revenue. So I was keeping a tighter eye on that. So I really don't sell too much. I sell refurbs, but that's it.
Okay. All right. We'll have to talk about that a little more off air, because I still sell a lot.
Good for you. I can, but I don't want to.
Right. So, okay. Yeah. All right. So so you went to Fabs, and you went to the disk imaging seminar.
Yes.
Sounds like you went to the Freedom Voice with Jason.
I did.
Okay.
I just on the Saturday presentation with Paul.
Oh, okay.
And then I went to the Ubiquity one with Jason.
All right.
And they were so short that, you know, the poor guy, you could tell he spent a ton of time on his presentation, and it got compressed. And it's a shame, because that boy's got a lot to share. He's got a lot to share, and I want it.
He had a lot more to share than I did when I did my presentation last year, and I was rushed.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot for us to learn, you know. And I liked, by the way, last year there was a point on Sunday, I think it was Sunday, where we had 3 breakouts to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea was we can't have 3 sessions, 3 in a row. Right? We can't eat up 3 time slots. We can eat up 1 time slot with 3 sessions. And then at the end of the sessions, people came out and did a recap of what the other 2 were like.
Right.
So you got to hear everything. And I thought that was really clever. Whoever came up with that idea, I thought that was really clever. So even though I couldn't see that one because I really needed to go to this one, I got something.
Right.
I didn't get nothing. So I thought that was an interesting way to handle it when you don't have a ton of time.
All right. I'll make a note of that and bring that up at the, I'm assuming I'll be at the next planning committee for next year. So
I hope so. Sure.
We'll see how that goes. But you're right that we did get a lot of good feedback from the, just from the standpoint of there was the ability to share findings from the sessions. And that was good. And yeah, I felt bad for them too, for running out of time. So
yeah, it's too bad. I mean, you know, unforeseen circumstances and all, but it's just too bad. I wonder if they could now follow up and say, you know, you've got time, you're at home, turn your camera on yourself and give us your presentation at a nice slow pace and let's post it. You know, maybe that's not a bad idea.
All right. I'm feverishly writing because I did talk to Jason about doing something like that. So maybe.
Because that'd be great if Fabs did that too. That'd be really good.
Okay. All right. So we're at the 25-minute mark. I wanted to try to keep this under 30 for you.
Sure.
There anything else that, you know, stuck out, you know, in terms of the event, Chicago, did you enjoy the ride and the,
I loved it all. I loved it all. I came in super early on Friday, with the intention of trying to help. Cause I figured if I was going to go, I might as well, you know, go early. So, I arrived, in Chicago at 8:30, or 8:05. So I was down at the Kinsey by, you know, 8:45 or 9 o'clock. And I was helping them cut badges and stuff bags and do all that kind of stuff. And I'm so used to that environment being an exhibitor, as I said previously, right, and having planned other events, it wasn't foreign to me. So I was trying to help. And that was really fun and helping them kind of pull the thing together. And some of the sessions, those bonus sessions on Friday, for those that did come in early, I'm sure some people got some benefit from that stuff. I think that's really good. The Saturday session I thought was phenomenal. I really like Michalowicz. I mean, he's a Jersey boy, so I thought that was a lot of fun. I've got a lot of tidbits from his books. I don't think I can be an absolute disciple. I read online and other places where people are just throwing out every process they ever had, and they're going to do his book page by page. And you know, I caution people on taking that kind of a strategy, but I, you know, he's very funny, very entertaining, lots to take away, just gave me this energy level that you just can't get from anybody else that does what he does. So that was really exciting, and loved the boat ride. I'm disappointed that that WeWork space on Sunday with the heat and the air conditioning, I thought that space was really cool. And like the space we had last year in Washington, you know, you had a couple of rooms and you had, you know, it was kind of open and some couches and some tables and chairs, you know, very relaxing, very casual, and not as formal as the bigger exhibits.
Right.
But I thought the us getting together at dinner Friday night and, or was that Saturday night? When did we go to the ping pong joint?
That was Saturday.
So I thought that was cool. And then I also, you know, Harry Carey's in general was cool. And going on the boat ride, I thought was spectacular. I'd been to Chicago about 3 years ago with some friends. We didn't do the boat ride, but did all the other Chicago things that you do.
Right.
So this was a nice way to round it out for me.
So I had a question I was going to ask you, but I want to come back because you mentioned Chicago things. So did you get the hot dogs?
I've had the hot dog at Wrigley. Yeah, I've done that. That was great.
Did you get the donuts?
Donuts?
Oh.
Dude, what donuts?
You got to ask Matt Rainey about the donuts.
That's not right. I don't know about donuts. What's a donut?
Let me just say this. It's the best $2.50 you ever spent on a donut.
Stop it. Oh my God, you're killing me. I didn't know this was a thing. Had I known.
Oh, it's a thing. All right.
Oh, I'm going to have a chat with Lori about that because I don't know about any donut.
All right. So I was going to end with you telling me if you had any of Mike Michalowicz's books before the conference.
Did, definitely.
Okay.
So the only one I have, and I guess I kind of went out of order, and I'm not really sure what order they were published. I think it was Toilet Paper, Pumpkin Plan, Profit First, Clockwork, and then Surge. But the one I'm getting the most out of, probably because I was kind of doing a lot of it already, was Profit First.
Okay.
I've been habitually taking money away from my weekly deposits for taxes and retirement, not for profit, for things that I thought were important, sales tax and income tax and funding my retirement. I'm thinking about the money going in my pocket. So I'm getting a lot more out of that. And I think that should come first personally, and then Pumpkin Plan to help people kind of build on that. But yeah, I mean, his writing style, light and easy, real easy to do.
All right. I just wanted to check with that. I have the books, and I was getting the most out of Pumpkin Plan actually before this conference. And I can attest to the fact that firing your biggest client is a scary thing to do.
I don't like the idea of having, I come from this, I've had this happen twice in my career, where we had a single client that was in excess of a third of our business.
Right.
And you just did everything they said, whenever they said it, you took a beating constantly, and it was just, you were trapped.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bold move to cut that. And, he mentioned it differently in person than he did in the book about writing a list of your clients, your highest revenue clients, and put either a cringe mm-hmm. or a grin.
Yes.
And I thought that was a clever way to put it. Do you cringe or grin when they call? That makes it super easy.
All right. Well, Tom, I want to thank you for taking the time. And I wanted to also say thank you for being a presenter this year.
My pleasure.
Like I said, I think that these conferences are great when we can get more people involved in sharing, and look forward to doing it again.
Yeah, there's lots to go around. We don't know it all, even though most of us are men and we think we do. There's lots to learn from each other and from everybody else out there.
There are a lot of women there telling us we didn't know as much as we
did. Well, I have five sisters, and I've been hearing it all my life. So.
Okay. All right. Well, I only have two sisters, and grew up as the only male in my family for quite some time. So that was fun.
Yeah. Hard to get in the bathroom. Yeah.
All right. Well, Tom, thank you again. And I'm sure we'll be catching up later. And ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Tom Bull, Two River Computer. And I mistakenly said New York earlier, but he is from New Jersey. I believe Napa Valley is from New Jersey also, isn't she?
Who? Napa Valley?
I didn't pronounce her name correctly. Ann Napa.
Oh, Napitola. Napoliano? I think it's yes. Napoliano. I could be wrong. I've only looked at it a couple times. Sorry about that if we butchered that on you, hon.
That's why I called it Napa Valley. That flows a lot better.
It does. I don't think I'll ever call her anything else now.
Sorry, Napa. I'll have you on soon. All right, folks. Thank you for downloading and listening to the show. And if you want to reach out to Tom, I have the information in the show note. Be sure to head over to podnuts.com and check out some of the other great shows that we've got on the network. I will continue with even more recap interviews from this year's IT Owners Convention in Chicago. And sorry, I just got a squirrel in my peripheral vision there. Anyway, be listening for those. And until next time, holla.